In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, dear first communicants, you will receive, for the first time in your young lives, Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. You will receive him whole and entire, and the hand of the priest places the consecrated host on your tongue. You approach this sacrament with a clean conscience, for you have learned from your parents and in your catechism classes that no one may dare to receive the Holy Eucharist unless this person is a baptized Catholic, not conscious of any grave sin. You and all of us have a very important motive for receiving our Lord as often as we can in Holy Communion. For as much as we love our parents, our siblings, our family members, our friends, no human being can give us lasting happiness. No one lasts forever, and even those we love the most have their shortcomings. There is only one who will never disappoint us, who will always be there for us, Jesus Christ. And he has told us that if we wish to have him, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, which he calls true meat and true drink. The only way we will live forever, according to his own words, is to receive him into our bodies and souls. It comes down to this: Christ is God, and God has decreed that he must be in us in order to save us in eternity. This truth of Christ's divinity has always been taught by the church from the apostles and their successors. This is what Christ himself taught. The apostles let others put them to death so they must have been convinced of what they were preaching. They must have been convinced that Jesus really is God, and that if they were giving up their lives here on earth to hand on the faith, it was to receive a better and lasting reward, eternal life with Christ in the next world. St. John tells us in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God's only begotten Son, a pure spirit, took for himself a human body of flesh. St. Paul writes that in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Our Lord himself tells us today in this gospel, "I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father." In another place, Christ tells the disciples, "I and the Father are one." He declares that before Abraham was made, "I am." He did not have a beginning. He will have no end. When our Lord said this, what did the Jews do? They took up stones to throw at him, to kill him. And their reason? Their own words are, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God." Not only did he proclaim that he is God, he proved it by countless miracles, above all his resurrection, and the fact that his church has persevered now more than 2,000 years in preaching his name to the world. Do you know that even the church's enemies, some of them, have admitted their belief in the divinity of Christ? A famous general named Napoleon had persecuted the Catholic Church during his life. But when he was about to die, he said, I know men, but Jesus Christ was more than man. My men deserted me in the field when I was there leading them. Christ's army has been faithful for centuries, A leader who has an army which functions even though he is dead is not a man, is no mere man. This is who you are receiving for the very first time today, God himself. The creator of the universe will come and live in you, dwell in you, make his tabernacle in you. Provided you remain faithful to your baptismal promises and provided that you always obey God's commandments and ask his mercy for your sins, he will always remain in you by his grace. So why does he visit you today? Why isn't Jesus content to simply give you his grace, a purely spiritual gift? Why does he insist on coming and dwelling in you bodily? Body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's already told us it is his infinite love for us. My delight is to be with the children of men. Proverbs 8:31. Even when we sin, his desire is not to punish us, but to convert and save us. Do you remember what our Lord told the good thief on the cross? This day, you will be with me in paradise. Now this thief, this good thief, had robbed, he had probably killed. Such a great sinner had only to turn to Jesus and ask his pardon. And in reward for this confidence, he was assured by Christ himself that he would not suffer the fires of purgatory, but enter into heavenly glory immediately upon his death. Now you have learned that the Holy Eucharist is a sacrament and a sacrifice in which our Savior, Jesus Christ, is contained body, blood, soul, and divinity, in which he is offered and received under the appearances of bread and wine. You have learned that he is really present in the Holy Eucharist, and that when the host will be placed on your tongue only a little while from now, it will not be just a symbol that you are receiving. It will really be him dwelling in you. This unbelievable privilege carries with it a great responsibility, that of striving for perfection. Too hard, you exclaim, perhaps, but this is nonsense. Do you think nothing of the heavenly food you will receive today? Do not doubt that he will really be food for you, spiritual food. He tells us my flesh is true meat and my blood is true drink. But what happens to someone who eats and eats and eats, but lies around and never makes an effort to use all that energy? They grow fat and weak. Jesus is giving you today the food of his flesh and blood so that you would become as pleasing to God as possible, and this involves an effort on your part. When you're in church, if you are talking to someone, it should be to one person, God. When others tease you, you must not give in to anger or name-calling or hitting them, but pray for them. When you have an opportunity to look at another person's answers on a test, you must say in your heart, no, I prefer to fail a test rather than fail in honesty. When your parents ask you to do a chore you don't like much, when you're tired, say to our Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this little taste of all the exhaustion you endured for my salvation. Thank you for letting me walk a little part of the way of the cross with you. I've so often chosen to serve myself rather than you. Here, at last, is a little opportunity to make up for some small part of all my selfishness. Lastly, I hope you will remember never to neglect your mother, that is, our mother, the mother of God. Cherish the family rosary. Remember this morning's May crowning. I hope you will be filled with hope and courage every time you hear the holy name of Mary. We must always, as long as we live, look to Mary and crown her in our hearts, for she is our heavenly queen. Our human mothers will bring us good food at the dinner table. This mother will bring us the perfect spiritual food of the flesh and blood of her Son. We cannot save our souls without her. Do you remember what Jesus said to St. John before he died on the cross? Son, behold your mother. And to Mary, woman, behold your son. It was not just St. John who took Mary as her child that day. It was not just Mary who took St. John as her child that day. It was each one of us and each one of you. And this good mother has only one desire, to bring us to Jesus and make sure that we stay with him always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.